You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over the weekend, a tsunami devastated Tonga after the eruption of a large undersea volcano. The waves reached almost 1 meter high and flooded parts of the capital, Nuku'alofa, alongside other nearby islands. Currently, there are massive ash clouds above the islands and tsunami warnings have been put in place across the Pacific. I spoke to NIWA's Dr. Emily Lane about the tsunami, its impacts, and how scientists will look to understand it. To start, I asked her to explain the causes of the tsunami.
It was a massive eruption of Hunga Tonga Hunga Hāpai, which is a submarine volcano in the Tongan Kingdom. And so that caused the tsunami that, you know, sent waves travelling all over the Pacific. I mean, they've even measured the tsunami in the Atlantic. So, you know, basically it had effect all around the world, which is really quite amazing.
And from what I gather, volcanic causes of tsunamis are pretty rare, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, tsunamis, you know, happen, you know, I mean, I guess we've actually had quite a few tsunamis in the last little while, but, I mean, they don't happen every day. And then from tsunamis, only 5% of the tsunamis that we've seen are caused by volcanic eruptions. So it's not that common a thing to see. So that's why it's pretty fascinating from a scientific point of view to sort of try and understand what's going on. But, you know, you've got to temper that with it's pretty terrifying from that human perspective.
Yeah, it would be pretty scary being over there. But for how exactly do, I guess, volcanic eruptions, how do they cause tsunamis? What are the processes involved in that?
That's actually a really fascinating question, because with earthquake tsunamis, it's pretty easy to understand. You know, the earth moves under the sea and that pushes the water column up, and then the waves just radiate away from that. And, you know, subduction zones are like 50 kilometres by, you know, 100, 200 kilometres long. So it's a huge area that gets pushed up. Whereas for a volcano, it's actually like the caldera there is only 8 kilometres across. And one of the fascinating things about volcanic tsunamis is there's actually a whole lot of different ways that they can cause a tsunami. So part of it is that initial eruption, sort of the explosive eruption itself. And because they're underwater, the hot explosion actually vaporizes a lot of water, so that makes the explosion even bigger. You can also get pyroclastic density currents, so these sort of currents of ash and volcanic material and gas that are like super hot can get pumped out, and so they can cause tsunamis. You can have caldera collapse, so the big chamber under the, you know, where the magma is stored under the earth, once the magma is sort of shot out from that can collapse and cause a tsunami. You can get what they call flank collapse, which is essentially a landslide off the side of the volcano as it sort of builds up. And so that's actually what happened in 2018 at Anak Krakatau. I don't know whether you remember that, but over 400 people were killed from the tsunami that was caused by that.
Is there any indication of what the main causes of this one, from the volcano or not?
So, I mean, it's early days yet, and the volcanologists are still looking at things. The three sort of top contenders, and I mean, the thing about volcanic tsunamis is it probably is a combination of all three of these. It was a very impulsive eruption, so, you know, it was a big eruption that happened very fast, so that will definitely be part of what we're seeing. They think that there was a caldera, and so there's probably some caldera collapse involved with it too. It's also possible that the pressure waves from the volcano itself also caused part of this tsunami. So it's probably at least, you know, parts of all three of those are involved.
So I guess in the coming weeks, what does the process look like for scientists coming together and trying to understand exactly what the causes were?
So the volcanologists, they'll be sort of trying to understand exactly what, you know, what happened in the process and sort of all of those details and sort of looking at what's remained. From the tsunami point of view, what we're probably going to be doing is looking at, you know, these different possible mechanisms, and we use computer models, and so we'll sort of look at, well, if it was this mechanism, what does that mean in terms of, you know, the waves that you see, how far they reach, and what we can actually measure. because, you know, here in New Zealand we've got the tsunami gauges. Just in the last couple of years we've been very lucky to get dark buoys, which are these deep ocean tsunami buoys as well. So we've got data from both of them. There's also tsunami gauges and dark buoys around the Pacific. And so we'll be collecting together all of that data and using it to sort of try and using our models to try and understand, okay, what are these mechanisms? Because, I mean, it's pretty mind-blowing. Most volcanic tsunamis we sort of think of as usually sort of, you know, affecting, you know, maybe 200 or 300 kilometres away from the source. But, you know, the Pacific is thousands of kilometres across, and, you know, we're seeing boats being destroyed, people being washed off rocks, you know, thousands of kilometres away from the source of this.
In the research for this, will it be a coordinated effort between lots of people from lots of different countries, or is it more just left to scientists and researchers who are in close proximity to what's happening in Tonga?
The entire world is looking at what's happening in Tonga, and so, yeah, all of, you know, tsunami scientists all around the world will be working together to try and understand what is going on. And, I mean, you know, sort of on Twitter, people are already passing around ideas and sort of sharing the pieces of the puzzle that they have. And so, I mean, that's going to go on. And so, you know, all of the different scientists from all aspects of this will be working together to try and understand what happened on Saturday and sort of, you know, what are those details so that we can, you know, help make people safe in the future.
When all these scientists come together after events like this, does it usually result in like lots of new information that wouldn't have been discovered otherwise when people were working individually and working in their own little bubbles and universities and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, very definitely. There probably won't be sort of, you know, to some extent it's still, you know, people sort of, you know, making the connections. You know, it won't be that there'll be a big gathering. But yeah, I mean, it's been fascinating being a tsunami scientist sort of in the time that I have been here, because the Indian Ocean tsunami happened just after I finished my PhD, and that was sort of a game changer. We didn't think there could have been that big a tsunami on that fault. You know, the Japanese tsunami was also a game changer. Again, it was sort of bigger than was expected on that fault. And so a lot of these, you know, each time we have a big event like this, we learn more about what's going on. I mean, even in 2009, the Samoan tsunami, that was sort of very interesting in terms of there were multiple fault ruptures, so multiple earthquakes sort of at the same time that actually caused that. And so we're still learning a lot about what's going on in the world.
Anyway, that was NIWA's Dr. Emily Lane speaking about the tsunami which took place in Tonga over the weekend.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.